how ironic it is that Jesus in today's Holy Gospel is talking about a builder of a tower who has to measure everything out and get it all set. If you would, by engineer's standards, I just thought it was ironic. When Henry sets out on a project with our brothers and they're doing something, it has to be done to the T. And that's what God is talking about. That's what Jesus is saying today in the Holy Gospel. Whoever is starting out building something, got to make sure you can finish it. And praise the Lord, we will be able to finish that. But today's Holy Gospel, I don't know about you, but I find it can be very confusing and kind of scary too. Jesus is telling us to forsake our loved ones and follow him. And if we're not prepared to do that, then we cannot be his disciple. These are his words. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What is it that he's asking of us? There's got to be more to this than meets the eye. Then he goes on to say, and anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. How can I carry a cross in this day and age? He's physically, it's just not done. And I know he's not talking about the chain and cross that you might be wearing around your neck. Jesus is telling us that he wants something important from us. So what kind of gift could we possibly give God? What could we possibly give him? And what could he possibly want us to give to him? So I want to make some suggestions today. Some pretty clear ideas, I think. I believe he wants our lives. He wants us. And with that in mind, I want to suggest to you that contrary to the popular belief, God does not have everything. Think about that. What are some things that I can give to God that he does not have? I see you might be struggling with that. I see some people pondering. Well, what we can give to him today is our worship. In Revelation 14:7, he said in a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. I think we need to ask ourselves, how much of our lives has been worship? Remember, it's more than just coming once a week on a Sunday morning. Why is God concerned that you worship him and him alone? Well, he knows that he's the ultimate. Nothing can satisfy like he can. God is worshiped the most when we are greatly satisfied in him and we rest in him. If you read through the entire Bible, especially the Old Testament, you'll see how God demands exclusive worship from his people. It's right in his commandments. The main reason is because there are no other gods, and he should be the sole object of our affection. Very important that we don't forget that God can exist without our worship. He doesn't need it, but we should give it to him. He always was and always will be, and his life does not depend on whether or not we get up out of bed on a Sunday morning and come and worship him, or whether we take some time in our quiet time and say, God, I love you. It should be our privilege and our joy and our heart's desire to worship him above all. And secondly, I think we can give to the needs of others. I witnessed that this week at the city center, Center Square, as there were cots, hundreds of cots lined up and people were sleeping on them. People were resting knowing that there were others that cared about them. seeing it in action. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Red Cross, the Salvation Army, and the Coffee Ministerial Association, the Sheriff's Department, and the Police Department were there in force to protect and take care of those souls who had no place to go. I can't even fathom in my head of what it must be like to have to leave your home and everything behind because there's a storm coming. That's scary. Some of you have witnessed that. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7, 8 to 11, God says, if there's a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your poor brother. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend him whatever he needs. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and the needy in your land. When we give to others, we're actually giving to the Lord. I'm sure many of you remember the words from Matthew, Jesus' words in Matthew 25, 31 to 46. It's often called the parable of the sheep and the goats. In it, Jesus gives a pretty clear picture of a person's final accounting. Those he calls the sheep are allowed into the kingdom, and since they fed the Lord, gave him water, clothed him, visited him in prison, and visited the Lord when he was sick. The king told these sheep, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. The goats are the exact opposite and get the opposite reward. When we give to people in need, we're giving to the Lord. Jesus Christ made it his mission to reach out to the poor, and our attitude should truly be the same. Thirdly, we can give to him our bodies. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 12, 1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. He's not asking you to get on an altar like Abraham was supposed to do with Isaac. He's asking you to say, God, I love you. I'm yours. Be careful when you do that, because he'll take you up on it. But that's the heart that you mean to give to him. When you think of what God has done for you, do you think that's too much to ask? I can tell you, quite frankly, it was June 22nd, 1999. We were in Israel. It's 2 days after my birthday. My right leg was basically useless. I was limping around, not able to go to the top of Megiddo and other things because I just couldn't do it. And Father Neil Labar, who is now our bishop, wouldn't let me. I had to sit on the bus while my family and others went in. On the 21st, just before we left Magan Holiday Village, we gathered at the shore of the Sea of Galilee to pray. One of our brothers there got up and said, somebody needs our prayer. He came over and he laid hands on my shoulders. And everybody got up and did the same. And after a time of prayer, I was weeping. And I said, I know that God's going to heal me tomorrow. And the next day, our first stop, was the Jordan River at Yadinit, which is one of the baptismal spots. And Marilyn and I decided that we were going to recall our baptisms. And it was quite something to get in that white gown and to wade into the Jordan River. Marilyn went under first, and I went under, and I came back up, and everybody and everything was bathed in a white light, like I'd never experienced before. Marilyn said, I kept saying, it's so bright. Marilyn said, you're not wearing your sunglasses. That wasn't it. And with that, my legs started to burn, went numb, and the pain has been gone ever since. And I actually ran up the steps out of the Jordan River. And everybody that was on this trip, that was 30-something people, all knew what had just taken place. I was healed. And the reason I said, be careful when you tell God, I'm yours, I'll do whatever you want, was because after he did that to me, I said those words. And 2 days after that, we were sitting at En Gedi, where David hid from Saul. It was at the lower waterfall with two other people. It was too steep a mountain to climb up. The leg wasn't strong yet. So I stayed down with them and prayed with them. And the person next to me happens to be an Anglican priest, Lynn Ashmead. And during a time of prayer, silent prayer, I heard my name called. And I said, "What?" And Lynn hits me and she says to me, "Nobody said anything." And so I closed my eyes again. And there it was again. And then the Lord showed me myself dressed like this, in a white alb with a green stole, making the sign of the cross over the bread and wine. And the words were said to me, "You must do this in grateful obedience." And that's when I received my call. Bishop Neal gets a lot of ammunition with that. He loves to tell, when he introduced me to other bishops and priests, he'll say, "My senior warden was called on a trip to Israel. Can you, right after he was healed, can you believe that?" And they're like, "Oh, you've just heard my testimony." I was not planning on giving that today, but that was 20 years ago in 1999. Since then, just shortly before coming to visit here, Marilyn and I had the privilege of taking 19 people to Israel, leading the trip, and going back into the Jordan River, this time to baptize or let people recall their baptisms in the Jordan River. And you talk about God's power and love. Your body is a place that God dwells. And this means your total person, your hopes, your dreams, your service to Him, your healing. His agenda comes before yours. "Here I am, Lord, send me." Give Him your body as a commitment to purity, but also to give Him your body as a commitment for service. And we can also give Him our best effort. Three guys were out in the blazing heat yesterday trying to make sure that was set perfectly by engineer standards. Praise the Lord. We got to do our best. There's not a Sunday that I can remember that our organists have not sat in front of this beautiful organ and given their very, very best. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." And that means if you're driving home or whatever you're doing, give it to God and do it for Him. Did you ever think of that? We need to do our best, even when the payoff is not quite what we expected. You know, before every service, the worship team, the acolytes, the lay ministers, myself, we gather inside in the sacristy and we pray. We pray and we ask God to help us serve Him and worship Him with excellence. That's because He deserves nothing but the best. And lastly, I think we need to give Him whatever is keeping us from going all out for Him. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus said in Luke 14:33, "In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." He's talking about the cost of discipleship. And he gives us some very direct instruction. He wants his hearers, whether it was 2 centuries ago or whether it's now, to realize that to follow Him means to follow Him with all your heart. If you and I were going on a hiking trip into the mountains, there would be some things that we would absolutely have to pack. And there'd be some things that we could do without. We might even have to leave some good things behind in order to make our trip a success. Because too much that we bring is going to be too heavy, weigh us down, and keep us from accomplishing our goal. I think you'll agree with me that there are times when we like to give Him some stuff, but not all of it. There's that magic string that we pull back on, and just don't give it to Him. As long as we're holding on to just one thing that is not pleasing to Him, it's going to affect our relationship with Him. And so I need each one of us today to ask ourselves this question: Is there anything keeping you from going all out for him? There are not things that you give him so that you can become a Christian, but you do these things because you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. These are things he won't force from you. Jesus is a gentleman. He will never force himself on you or make you do anything. It's got to be from your free will. There's no doubt that the seas and stars are his, but there's no doubt also that the rainbow belongs to him, although there are some who have tried to hijack the rainbow as their own. Whether or not God owns you is up to you. It's your choice. The relationship you have with God, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit is in your hands. He sacrificed himself and died so that you can have life with him. And in closing, this is my question for today. I think all of us need to look at it. What do you and I need to give to God today? He's waiting with his arms wide open, ready to receive whatever you bring to him. Maybe it's your praise and your worship. Maybe it's to commit your body to him, to purity. Maybe it's to say to him, Lord, I want to endure even though things have been tough. Maybe there's been someone on your mind lately who God wants you to do something for or to pray for. Maybe it's that alone time that you keep meaning to have with Christ, but you don't get around to it. Whatever it may be, God wants to accept your gift and make it special for his sake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.